We're going to delve into the dynamic world of ministry technology and facilities, and we're going to be discussing the latest trends, challenges, and future innovations shaping the industry with not one, but two guests next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 449. My name is Phil Thompson. Steve Lacy, who is usually around here, is not with us today. He's got some business to take care of, but fear not. Steve's not here, but I've got, count them, not one, but two special guests today that we will get into here in just a moment or so. But we welcome you to the Church Solutions Podcast. If this is your first time, thanks for joining us. We actually have, we're actually a company that does several things. We mostly do streaming video at streamingchurch.tv, but we have some other products, one of which is our sponsor today, DailyDive365.com. So when you get a chance, check it out. Go to DailyDive365.com and you can check it out. It's our little... A little one-liner there is preach once, inspire daily. It's actually a great tool that can take your pastor's sermons and create daily devotionals in your pastor's voice. So it does some other things too, but check it out, Daily Dive 365. We also have a webinar coming up. We do webinars all the time, and we've got a webinar coming up scheduled for November 19th. And it's going to be about marketing your church. We're working with Missional Marketing on this, and hopefully we can batten down the hatches and get this all set together. But either way, we're going to talk about how your church can be found much easier online, how people can watch your stream. You can get more people to watch your stream, get more people to look at your website. So that's happening November 19th. It's going to be 12 noon, and you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. All right, sign up for that. And even if you can't go, sign up anyhow, so because you'll get a recorded version of it. So without further delay, let me introduce our guest today. I'll read their bios, and then we'll get into this. James Denman has been on our podcast before. He's been involved in AV since he was a wee youngster, mixing church stuff when he was 13. And he also got a start as a musician, singing in the children's choir. And then he's really a multi-instrumentalist, loves playing the church's band. He's a father. He's a believer. He's an AV nerd. So he gets along real well with us. He's also the owner of Dynamic Audio Visual Systems, and he's also co-owner of Press On, which is what we're really going to talk about today. It's an organization designed to partner with your church to help you develop a comprehensive plan for your worship experiences. And then Jeremy Allison is with us today. He resides in Franklin, North Carolina. He's got a wife, got three kids, and he's, as I mentioned, partner with James on Press On. He's got tons of experience, over 25 years in audiovisual design and engineering, and he's got a real passion for worship, technical stuff and all that good stuff, working with different churches across the United States. So we're glad to have these guys on. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Church Solutions Podcast. How are you today?
We're good, Phil. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. And James, I noticed your beard's a little longer since the last time we talked.
A little bit. See what happened? Well, I won't go into it, but I had a surgery on my right shoulder, and so it was hard, you know, to shave and stuff. So I just decided to let it grow, and that was a little over a year ago now.
All right. And Christmas is coming up, so you'll be ready.
It is indeed. Dual benefit.
If people are watching the video, you'll understand that. All right, so guys, thanks for being with us on the podcast today. So Press On, if I'm a pastor or a tech person listening to this podcast, first of all, what is Press On? What inspired you guys to do this?
I'll let you take it.
Well, the inspiration for Press On really comes straight out of the Word of God, Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal, and just in my own personal devotions, as I kept reading this this press on concept, I kept thinking that, man, there's something here to be had in business and in the business of the church, this idea of pressing on, and not just pressing on as one lone individual up against the wild winds, but pressing on as partners, pressing on as a team, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So that was kind of the birth of the concept. It was natural to take it to James. We've had a business relationship for a long
At
time
least
at
20
this
years,
point.
yeah, so.
I took it to him. It was something that was on his heart as well, and we just began to run with it from there.
Okay. So what unique problem are you guys actually solving for people in ministry, for ministries and people involved? What is it that you're solving with Press On?
Well, one thing that we've noticed with, years of experience dealing with churches is there's a lot of churches out there in our area, probably the vast majority of them, that have one or two full-time staff people, and they are asked to do everything. And they really don't have the skills to do everything. It's kind of unfair to ask them to do that. And so we have years of experience in church, years of experience specifically in the technology side. But we've been on church staffs, we've dealt with all sorts of issues with church, and so have a knowledge and an understanding of how to help them build budgets to do the things they need to do, put together plans, and basically help them get back to the business of ministry, which is what they really are there to do, really called to do to begin with. So that's the goal. May sound a little vague, but I think it really hits home with a lot of people.
Okay. Well, obviously you guys have tons of ministry experience. We talk to companies all the time that want to help churches with tech. So, I mean, your core, how can I say this? What would be your core value proposition, for somebody listening?
The core value proposition here is really the idea that we can come alongside you as a partner with your ministry. I don't want the goal here isn't to have customers that come to us and say, "Oh man, we want a new sound system," and then that's it. Okay, well, we're a vendor. Here's a sound system. Good to see you. Please come back in 10 years. The goal is an ongoing partnership where we can understand the heartbeat of the ministry. We can understand what challenges they're facing, and we can help them solve these. It's not just, here's this one big technical project. It's here are these minor steps that we're taking at the moment that we need some support in. Here's our long-term goal, or we need help creating a long-term goal even. And just, how to build all of that out, if you will, how to line the nest, so to speak.
Yeah, and developing the relationship is a huge part. That's always been my goal in business, is not to have customers per se, but to develop those relationships. I mean, that's what really matters when it comes down to it. We're all kingdom-minded, so that we all have the same goal in mind. We're playing on the same team. Let's get out there and let's work together and make it happen.
We tend to say, I mean, James owns a tech company. I own a tech company here in Western North Carolina. There are plenty of tech providers out there. We tend to say, we're not really after the tech. That's certainly a part of what we do. And in this modern age in this country, that's a big part of the challenges that ministry faces. But we're a relationships company, not a tech company.
That's so important. That's one of our things I think we've always done here at streamingchurch.tv. We're big on relationships, and that to me makes a big difference in helping people. So let's kind of walk through what would be the typical process. So I'm a pastor, I'm a tech guy, and I've got my hands full and I'm overwhelmed. What would be the typical process that a ministry might engage with, when they reach out to Press On? I mean, how would that all work?
Well, really, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You can get online on our website, pressoncon.com, con being short for connection. You can schedule a free introductory call. At that point, we're just going to go through and get to know each other a little bit, make sure that it's a good fit both for us and for the church. And in that time, a pastor, a ministry leader would share what challenges, what it is that brought them to reach out to us. And we're going to say, okay, yeah, we sure we can come up with a solution for you for that. Give us some time to reflect upon it, and then we'll schedule a follow-up call with you and present to you what our solution looks like. Sometimes that's something we can handle in-house and say, we're going to provide this, this, and this, and with a bottom dollar figure of this, and it's that simple. Other times, it may require somebody whose expertise is elsewhere,
Right.
in textiles, in HVAC, in any number of pursuits. And at that point, we'll say, all right, well, we have this excellent solution for you over here. We have this vetted person that's served very well in working with a lot of our partner ministries for a long time, and put you in touch with them, and move on from there, so to speak.
Now you guys are both on the East Coast, right?
That's
Correct.
correct. Yep.
Yeah. So if I'm a church in California, how does that work? I mean, do you fly out if it's needed, or you just do it all through Zoom? I mean, how does that all work?
We can any combination of those things,
Right.
depending on what the solution looks like. We do have a network of connections, really, certainly in the contiguous 48, and if pressed, definitely in Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, any of the places that you want to go on vacation this
Right,
time
I was
of
saying, guaranteed.
year.
If you have a church in the Bahamas, give me a call. I will be glad to come and consult with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
That's streaming church will do that as well.
I'm
Exactly.
sure.
Yeah, we'll be
Yeah,
happy to
we
fill
have
out.
worked over the years. We've worked over the years across the country, so we're no strangers to having to travel to meet those needs, for sure.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So basically, the difference between you and other people out there is you're very relationship driven, you're very ministry oriented because you guys have tons of ministry experience, right? I mean, that's a big thing. I think that really differentiates you between maybe some other companies out there. Now, you guys are just at the CX, what is it, the CFX 2024 deal?
CFX 2024 in
Yeah,
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. I did him. When I first started in radio, I had a I did a I worked with a guy who did a show, an old music show from the 30s and 40s, I think. And one of the songs I introduced was the Chattanooga Choo Choo, I think. But
Oh,
anyhow,
yes.
I digress.
I'm going to start singing it here in a
So you
minute.
know it. So yeah, well,
I
okay, you don't
do.
have.
Pardon me, boys.
There you go. That was the
That's
first song I introduced on radio. So there's
Oh, nice.
So our Church Solutions podcast people, that's free. That's you got a little tidbit there of Phil Thompson's history. All right, so you introduced this thing. And what kind of did you guys get any feedback? You introduced it at the CFX show. What kind of feedback, if any, did you get from people on this thing?
It was really pretty positive. We were brand new. We served as a sponsor. We did a session. Jeremy sat on a panel as well, and we had a booth on the floor. So it was all new to us. We were beyond stressed leading up to it, to get it all together. It was very positive. The reception that we got was people loved the orange shirts. Got
Oh,
more
yeah.
comments about the jerseys, I think, than anything. But they were very, very positive response about the approach we're taking, and the way we're going about trying to help the churches, especially the ones in our region. Given the recent events, recent weather events, there's a lot of need in this area at this
Oh,
point.
yeah. Yeah, you
And
guys have been hit hard.
so
Yeah.
it's turned out to be a pretty good time for us to launch a
Sure.
brand of this sort. So,
Yeah, the color differentiation alone was it served its purpose. It was representative of it in exactly the way it was supposed to be. That yes, we're orange. We stand out. We're different. We're not black, red, and blue. Not to take away or disparage any of the other companies that are those colors. My company's colors are those colors. But it's a different approach, and that seemed to be a visual cue that really clicked in the minds of the ministry leadership that we
Yeah,
talked with at the show.
absolutely. So.
That's interesting. Yeah, if most of our people are probably listening to this podcast, but if you want to go to the video, we'll have it on YouTube on Streaming Church's YouTube website, or you can go to streamingchurch.tv streamingchurch.tv. And you can look at, for our podcast under resources. These guys are in yellow. They're in orange shirts. They look like baseball shirts. Yep. It looks like a little bit like a baseball uniform there. But yeah, that's interesting that it definitely makes you guys stand out. So, all right. So you kicked this thing off recently. Let's talk a little bit about the future. All right. So we know you guys are well-versed in tech and you'll help churches. You help them with a plan if they need, you help them with equipment, you'll give them advice. But what about the future here? What current trends and maybe challenges are facing ministries when it comes to technology and facilities today? What would you think? Pull out, I'd say crystal ball, but that's probably not Christian, but pull out something there, connect with the prophetic or something, and tell me what you guys think are some of the challenges facing ministries today. Tech.
Well, technology, as we all know, changes so rapidly. There's always the latest and greatest thing. And I think one challenge that a lot of churches face is trying to keep up with that. And sometimes they don't really need to. One of the things that we talked about in our session was how you can budget budget for equipment when you don't really have much of a budget, and ways to get equipment that's going to do what you need it to do. And one thing that I highlighted was you got to determine what's a need and what's a want. If you're a small church that has a piano, an organ, a small choir, and the preacher's preaching to 40 people on Sunday morning, you don't need the big rock and roll sound system and a light show. Whereas in a larger church that has a full band, that may be quite appropriate. So just determining what is a need versus what is a want, and that you don't always have to keep up with the latest and greatest. That said, though, there is technology that's available and is constantly becoming available that allows churches to spread their message far and wide, like streaming, that y'all do a lot of. Every church now, after the COVID pandemic, is online in some way, shape, or form. That's actually pretty easy to do at this point, and can be pretty cost effective to do. And so it allows for churches to reach out in a new way. And there's always new ways coming online. One of the things we really made a point of, or really struck us at the CFX show, was the DirectView LED displays. Those things, well, everybody's seen the Diamond Vision board at the baseball stadium or the football stadium. They've been very, very expensive and very hard to get into. And they seem to be balancing out now with projection. And that's a really, really good option, I think, in the near future for churches, regardless of size, so that they can present graphical, their message in a graphical, visual way in their sanctuaries. So definitely that's coming, and it's coming down in price all the time.
Well, elaborate a little bit on that, guys. I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Oh, no, we're done.
But elaborate a little more. What is that? First of all, restate that and tell us what it is.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the DirectView LED technology is going to give you a large format image without the space required for a projector, without the dealing with the headaches of projector bulbs, dealing with the headaches of ambient light affecting your projected video image, your projected graphics, whatever it may be. It gives you some flexibility in space use at that point. If you picture the sanctuary that you're used to sitting in on a Sunday morning, and you think about the infrastructure that it takes to get that video image onto whatever it is you're viewing, that's requiring a lot of space. It's also requiring a lot of careful consideration as to where stage lighting is aimed, house lighting is aimed, things of that nature, to avoid oversaturating that image to the point that you can't read song lyrics, that you can't read the pastor's sermon points, things like that. And what this does is bypass those concerns by overpowering them, essentially. You no longer need the throw space for a projector. It's direct view. You're viewing the image on the chips that are creating it, on the light-emitting diodes that are creating it.
This is mounted on a wall? I mean...
Yep.
mounted on a wall, mounted on a stand, flown from the ceiling. Again, there are a number of different approaches here, depending on the architecture of the space. So,
Yeah, basically you could think of it in real simple terms of a very large TV.
right.
And in addition to the brightness that you get out of them, so if you have a lot of ambient light in your space, it can overcome that. The quality of the image is better. There's different pixel pitches, which just means basically how fine the image is, how close the pixels are together at different price points. So, like when you're in the baseball stadium, like I mentioned earlier, the pixel pitch on that is not very fine, but everybody's sitting a long way from it, so it looks great. And that does make a difference. And in a worship space, a worship environment, there's just a ton of different options. I'm working on one right now where they have a curved wall. And it was like, oh, that's going to be interesting. But there are plenty of solutions out there. And it's going to look brilliant in any space you put it in.
What's the price range? I mean, obviously it's going to be different depending on what you get, but I mean, what are those things starting at?
A lot of it depends on size, but oh gosh, let's just do a comparison. I'm going to be installing a couple of projectors here in the near future. Those projectors end up costing about $20,000 a piece. Right now, an LED wall that would be about the same size as the projected image is going to be slightly more than that, but they used to be three, four times as much, and they're no longer that way. They're coming down. And according to one of my vendors that I have a good relationship with in the Atlanta area, they're about to release a new price list that lowers it even further. So as technology often does, it tends to get less expensive over time. I mean, I remember when a 50-inch plasma screen cost about 10 grand, and now you can buy a 75-inch display at Walmart for what, $3.99 or something like that. So,
Yeah, it breaks after about a year, but yeah, other than
yeah, that's
that,
true. Hey, it's like Harbor Freight tools, right? If it breaks, throw it away and get a new one. So,
I mean, $3.99 once a year is far better than $10,000 once every 10 years.
that's
So,
true. That's actually a
very
very good
true.
point. Wow. Yeah, well, that's very interesting. I don't know why I thought about it, but I used to lead music years ago, and for some reason, just the other day, I was thinking about how we used to use not a projector, but we had it was overheads, right? You
Overhead
put,
projection,
yeah,
slide
we had the
projection. Yes.
overheads. I don't know why I was thinking about that. It just popped in my head, and I thought, oh, yeah, I used to do overheads. I remember, and you'd have all the verses on there, and
Right.
then if somebody would get mixed up, that was running the overhead, that was pulling the sheets, and they'd get
Yeah.
mixed up, and everybody
You're
would
just out of
lose
luck.
track, and yeah, it would be like lost. And if you're the
Although I
worship
remember how
leader.
thrilled I was when I was able to print on the inkjet printer a color thing to put on the overhead.
know,
That tells a
right?
little bit about my age, I'm afraid,
Yeah.
but and then of course there was the hybrid that came just after that, which was the pass-through computer that you would set on the overhead
Right,
projector.
right, right.
So yeah,
It's come a long way.
it has.
Yeah, gosh, that's just crazy. Yeah, I don't know why I thought about that, but wow, yeah, so
Yeah.
that's a big jump between that and what we were just
I do
talking about.
continue to think, though, that as looking into the future, as we look at the attention spans of upcoming generations, and as we watch them get shorter and shorter and shorter, rather than sitting back and taking the high horse and going, oh, well, it's a real shame. We should all be able to sit through Citizen Kane without a bathroom break. I think the way to get information to them, the way to communicate to them in a worship environment is going to continue to be more and more visual arts. Fewer and fewer spoken words, more and more visual arts, because you can communicate more information more succinctly in that manner. So that's one thing I think we have to look at coming down the road, occurring now and continuing to
Right.
occur.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I would agree with that. Yeah. So let's before we wrap up here, I always like to get people's ideas on AI. And how do you guys see AI affecting tech, affecting worship? Go ahead, Santa Claus. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go
Put me
ahead.
on the spot.
Go ahead.
Ho, ho, ho. That's all I
Go
have to say.
ahead. Go ahead, James. I'm sorry.
AI definitely has some good uses in the worship space. I see mixing console manufacturers are already beginning to integrate AI into their mixing surfaces, which can be a positive and a negative, but it definitely can be a positive for your inexperienced volunteers by helping them to navigate some of that when that's not what they do for a living. They just do it on Sunday mornings because it's needed, you know.
How would that
We
work?
I
I don't mean to cut you off, James, but
Oh,
I mean,
no.
how, because I've often thought about that. Well, how is AI going to help me mix sound? I mean, do you have any ideas?
I don't exactly off the top of my head, other than it could help you, I would imagine, with setting the processing on the console, possibly listening to what's going on and helping set a mix. There have been systems in place for a number of years now with loudspeaker manufacturers and others where you can put a mic in the room and they supposedly tune the room for you. That's not necessarily AI, but it's similar.
It's
And
getting there, yeah.
yeah, that's how I anticipate it's going to work. From a personal standpoint, I don't like that kind of stuff, but then again, it's what I do for a living. So I'm used to doing it. Like, I don't like a car that's going to drive for me. I want to drive the car. You know, if I'm going to wreck, I want it to be my fault, not theirs. So that's one area that I see AI coming in.
What
Other
about you,
thoughts?
Jeremy?
I know one of the ways it's being implemented currently, AI is presently kind of a misnomer. It's a very cute marketing term, at least in this space. We've got to keep in mind how small how small this niche market is overall, and kind of say, all right, well, any true computer learning system that takes a whole lot more algorithms here and a whole lot more learning than most people are probably going to throw at it at this point in history. The term AI right now is being used for some camera tracking technology. It's really not, there is no learning involved there. It's nothing more than fancy algorithms. It's just pretty marketing to sell it to you. That camera tracking certainly is very effective, very useful if you don't have a tech staff and you need to be out streaming. You know, you can buy an AI camera tracking system that is going to follow your pastor, your worship leader around the stage correctly and transmit that image without you having a video producer, a cameraman, a, you know, on and on down the list. In the case of audio engineering, true AI would be something that would have access to a library of songs. You would tell it, I want to create an end product that sounds like this genre of music. Go. And it would go out, it would learn those songs, it would learn the anticipated tone and position of them in the mix of an acoustic guitar, for example. And then it would take its knowledge of that and try to translate it as best as it could to your incoming mix signal and produce for you that outgoing mix. That obviously could go very sideways very
In a
quickly.
hurry. Yeah.
But again, in an environment, we're talking theoretically because those products do not exist.
Right.
In an environment that you don't have an operator, you don't have a budget for a tech operator, that may become a very realistic thing as we get down the road a little bit and this technology comes down in price, AI learning becomes more
Better,
advanced,
yep.
and so on and so forth.
It may not be
So,
too far down the road either,
right,
honestly.
the curve of technology
It's crazy.
is frightening.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like what you were saying earlier, Jeremy. I mean, you know, sometimes you just can't fight change. So, you know, you're going to have to go with it as best you can. There's a lot of fears out there, but I think as time has gone on, those fears have kind of dissipated, and more people are accepting the fact that AI is here to stay. And some of the fears are just, I think, unfounded.
Yeah, I think
You
so.
know,
And
but
some of them have a very solid founding in Hollywood basements, yes,
I think.
that's
But
right.
The staff and I, we were all talking about it yesterday about how a lot of the fears are based on these movies, you know,
Right.
like The Terminator or Or I can't remember the movie with Sarah Jessica Parker's husband. What was his name? Where it was like computers were shooting off missiles at the Soviet Union
Oh,
and
War Games?
War Games.
Is that the
Yeah,
one?
yeah. So that's probably the one. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that we tend to think that that's what AI is going to do. It's going to take over our defense systems and it's going to take over our banking, which I guess it could, but the idea is we can unplug it, right? Or maybe we can't. I don't know, but.
Yeah, well, as Christians too, I mean, this is it's very careful water to tread on, but there seems to be occasionally the this back of the mind fear that, oh my, I'm going to wake up in the morning and AI will have put the mark of the beast on my forehead. You know, it's the very same reason that we don't have embedded chips that serve as payment systems and things like that. Right, wrong, or otherwise, I'm not here to make a call on that, but I think that does have something. It does play into it, so.
It does. All right. So we're running out of time. We were talking with James Dedman as well as Jeremy Allison here. They are from Press On. So let's just make sure people know to go to the website. It's pressoncon.com, right?
Correct.
All right.
Say
So
that
because
10
if you
times real fast.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, if you just Google Press On, you're going to find some nails or something to put on. But it's it, it, so it's going to be pressoncon.com. That's the website, and that's how people can get a hold of you, right? If they just go there,
Yep,
they can reach
absolutely.
out to you. They can find you guys there. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, this has been interesting. Any quick advice? You guys have been doing this, been doing ministry and tech stuff for years. This is a new company, but what would you, maybe some thoughts to give out to some aspiring entrepreneurs that maybe are looking at getting into the faith-based tech industry? Any advice you might want to give them?
Aside from don't do it, run the other direction. There's always a need. There's an unlimited need for it out there. And if it's something that you have a passion for and a propensity for, then by all means, find someone that you can learn under to really get a good foundation for it. And then, if it's where God leads you, by all means, be willing to take that step and trust Him to lead you in the right direction and go out there and help people accomplish their ministry goals. It's definitely a very good thing to do.
Spend time in prayer. Take find a verse that weighs heavy on your heart and set it as a corporate objective. This is our statement of purpose in this Bible verse. At the end of the day, our purpose is far greater than just putting food on the table.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
driven by something far beyond us, something that will outlive us. So.
That's very good. When you mentioned don't do it. I remember as a young pastor going to a conference and the guy speaking said, if you're thinking about getting in to ministry, and he paused, don't do it. But like anything, it's a challenge. I mean, ministry is a
It is.
challenge. Pastoring is a challenge. Starting a company is a challenge. Maintaining that stuff's a challenge. But I think what you guys have both said sums it up well, and that is it's more than just a business. It's a ministry that even though it is a business, it's a ministry for you guys. You gotta put food on the table, and it's a calling, and it's about helping people and helping churches, and that's what you guys do. So appreciate your time today. Thank you, gentlemen. We sure are glad we had you today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
All right, you're very welcome. And folks, thank you for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Be sure and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating. And if we can help you with anything, please reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. My name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.